Hello and welcome to Mike's iLab podcast, episode 137 for the 10th of August 2017. Well, hello and welcome to this week's podcast review of what's been going on in the Google Groups and the iLab Google. So let's dive straight into the groups and start off with a project that's been going on over the week. Tom picking out an electric scooter. Starts with a picture of said scooter prior to the Pimp Him project getting underway. And a further update on the Oxford Improvement Project. Toby posts, Tuesday we got the smoothie board controlling the spindle. It involved uncovering the mystery of pins 3 and 9 on the controller. We found out that the spindle controller uses some kind of feedback loop to do speed control even without the encoder. Means that we are ready to do an integrated test with smoothie controlling all elements of the box. And he says, I can't think it is to do this on the 13th of August. That's this coming Sunday from 2 p.m. If anyone's interested in joining the Boxford party, should turn up on the day. And if you want to know more about things that you can get involved in prior or on the day, then check out the Boxford improvement thread. Because it's an exciting project. Not only will it help the Hackspace, but also probably be helping a whole range of other people, perhaps educational establishments who have got second-hand mills, or other people who have acquired them from said places and don't get the support directly from the supplier. And one thing that went on last Monday, I don't think I mentioned it last week, it was posted up on the 4th, which was last Friday after the podcast, yes. So, but on Monday, there was a special repair cafe at risk, and it was, I think, a joint effort with the bike kitchen to try and address the lack of a bike kitchen residence or premises at the moment. And it's intended as an experiment to see if there are repairs available and whether it will complement the normal monthly event. So I'll be looking out for a report of how that went. I see there's 17 likes on the Facebook page, but I don't see any particular comments on that. And I mentioned last week about the spot welder that Andy had posted a link to, and the fact that it didn't see any bids. Anyway, Andy was surprised, he said, for £50, but maybe because of the space it takes up. He said the seller hasn't relisted it, and they're only in Bracknell. A bench-mounted one is much more convenient for small projects than a handheld one. The amount of use it would get would need to justify the space it takes. Spot weld is much easier and more accessible to beginners than MIG or TIG, and since there are no real consumables, there aren't any running costs either. It would also complement the other machines, being able to weld very thin material, which you can't do. And one of the ones I thought about was people are often looking at doing battery terminals, and that was one of the things that needed a spot welder to do the tabs, because of the types of metal. Anyway, he asked the seller and said it's available and do we want it? So the thread concludes with Ian saying, let's get it and evaluate its potential. If it doesn't fit, then we can pass it on. And he pledges a tenner. Two more pledges come in, so that's 30. I've spotted that thread, contribute mine, because, as I say, I've got a couple of projects which I think it'll be ideal for at least for trying. Things like these cooking grills and barbecue grills, where they're spot welded the bars together, and it opens up the possibility of being able to make such things for ourselves, which could be useful, at least for me to have a go at. And we're thinking a little while back, somebody else had a project where they wanted to make up a grid. I can't remember what it was for now, but that would have needed it as well. It's on Eric's request about driving stepper motors from an Arduino and what sort of controller. He says he's got Adafruit 1438 H-bridge drivers on order. He's looking for a data sheet. Not surprisingly, there's some on sparkfun.com, and he posts a link to that. And Adafruit and Sparkfun work very closely together. Often it's a question of finding the thing, knowing exactly what to look for. These come under the L298, so I guess that search should have turned it up. But it is the case that many eyes make light work in this case, and it's one of these things that iLab does for us. One of the other great things that goes on in space is the using tools to make tools. And here's a great example of Luke with a router table. He said, router table sled. I have made a sled to make it less stressful when routing smaller work pieces and to maximize the odds of keeping fingers in serviceable condition. It can take pieces approximately 20 up to 20 centimeters wide, but they need to be at least or greater or equal to 12 centimeters deep, so 120 mil, to be clamped securely. I'll get round to tweaking it soon so that it can take pieces less deep. Thanks to Tony for his help in Inkscape, on getting Inkscape and the laser cutter to do what I wanted. And of course, it's that workflow that it still seems to be a bit of a challenge to get to work. And it'd be interesting to know more about. I guess the 3D Thursday is the time to look at documenting the workflow on the wiki a bit more. So it's really, these interventions shouldn't be needed. We should have documentation, that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, the piece is made up out of multiple layers of lasered wood, forming a template and some clamps. It looks a very, very neat job, very neat design. And he's posted up a couple of pictures of it as well. And Toby posts a question about an alternative use of the laser. In this case, has anyone used the laser cutter to burn off the paint from a painted metal? I've seen a few examples around. He doesn't expand on exactly what he wants to do it. But Tony finds an example on Instructables about a technique to actually do engraving of designs on a flat painted surface, which is a metal surface, which is then has the paint removed, producing a negative design. And it's interesting reading the text. It goes with the Instructable. It says it came about because of the need to create a shaft encoder. If successful, the void in the paint could be used to electrochemically etch the holes in the shaft encoder. And so that's an alternative use. I'm not sure it may be exactly what Toby's looking to do, perhaps, because they did talk about the encoder for the box when thinking about it. But he says, while it's an Instructable that's not immediately accessible to a lot of people, hopefully they'll find the end result attractive to instructions for prepping and painting the metal useful. So maybe this is one that we could link to in the in our wiki on laser techniques. And Simon confirms that he's done it successfully on both lasers, the small one and the Piranha large one. I'm surprised that nobody's mentioned it, but it brings back to my mind people's talk about doing techniques for PCB manufacturing, because that would be a similar etching process. And a question arose from Mark about power. He was saying that it seemed that the power to the sockets were off when he went in and had got time to investigate. But something that's a bit unclear, it seems that there's two e-stops. We know there's one with a key, and Mark did, and there's also the trip in the circuit board itself. But Toby mentions there's an e-stop behind where the box fit is currently. But we don't have a picture of that one. He says it's an e-stop button that reset the same as the others. But is it in series or in parallel, I wonder? It didn't seem to have been the cause in this case, as Tom found things were working. But it raises a bit of a question that I think needs clarifying, hopefully on the wiki, in terms of things to be aware of when you're using tools and power and things in the space. An active topic this week is a Faye's request about finding a replacement car. She says, due to a governmental screw-up, I now have to fight, I'm losing my mobility car. So I now need to buy a second-hand wheelchair-accessible vehicle, as it's going to be a long one. So there's a bit of discussion goes on about the possibilities, about the budget, what the requirements are, whereas it's possible to use an unconverted vehicle, she's looking to see if it's possible with a budget and help of people from the Hackspace to be able to get an improvement, really. And there are vehicles available, and if you've got knowledge of buying cars at auctions or access to information about sources of cars with a good history, also considering cost of insurance for particular types of vehicles, then look at the thread, request car/WAV advice expertise. Mr. Ed's been quite active on this, and Chris found some bits and pieces. There's a link to a YouTube video of an electronic lift on a Japanese Toyota vehicle to bring somebody in. But I'm not sure that actually takes it into the driving seat, whether it's applicable to the driving. So about either including the wheelchair as part of the driving process, or having it separate to be able to do a transfer to an alternative seat. If you're able to help, find out, put your suggestions up in the thread. And another in the what does our lab do for me? Well, it's the offer and accept, and this took place just over a couple of days. Offer of free laminate flooring that Loop had some leftover flooring and underlay for it. And it matched exactly what Joe was looking for. It's a small area. And so that worked well. So again, if you've got something, rather than perhaps putting it aside necessarily or taking it to the tip, then putting it up as an offer on the forum can be a very successful way of satisfying two needs. And on the supplies stocks front, Ian says, I bought super glue, regular and high viscosity. It is appropriate in the appropriate bin upstairs. I've also got an accelerator pen. It does the same as the aerosol version, but more controllable. So I assume you put the accelerator on first, and then when you put the glue on, it gets accelerated. I haven't used a pen. It's also interesting to know about the high viscosity, because that's one of the issues with the regular super glue being very thin. It tends to run in places that you don't want it to. And another in the our lab, what does our lab do for me? Jack says, I'm a member at Southampton Makerspace, so make it. And very interested in laser cutters, as I manufacture various items as a business part-time. Southampton own an Epilogue Legend 36 EXT, and while it's a great machine, I'd like to expand my knowledge, and I'm told your space is very knowledgeable on the matter. And of course, indeed it is, particularly Tony's experience and creating his experience, experimentation, various different design techniques, but then also other people who've come in, such as Simon, John, and Toby, who have been testing mixed machining techniques as well. And he says, I know you have an open night on a Wednesday, but I'd like to make a day or two of it, as it's a bit of a journey up, and I like to make the best use of resources. So no one's replied to him yet on that, but I know lots of people are currently away, so that should probably be arranged in a week's time. I guess people are probably missing Just Aged Sharks, as they used to do quite a lot of presentations and training, but I believe they've closed in recent times. I'm sure exactly what's happening with the guys that were there. I hope they've gone on and workshops and sort of demo sessions, which gave a lot of techniques and information. They were very knowledgeable. A variety of different sized lasers for sale. And another in the what project can I tackle category. Oliver puts a link to an Amazon item, interestingly, from a company called the House Nameplate Company, and it does what it says on the tin. So they produce house numbers and nameplates. In this case, Oliver's looking for a slate, black slate house number. So two digits here are shown. Regular price, £20. Sale price, £12.39. Still quite a pricey item. Basically, they're demonstrating a number 14 with a two countersunk holes in it. Some discussion about how it might be reproduced. Using thicker vinyl, on vinyl cutting it, is one technique, which can then be used as a protection against sandblasting. So you can then sandblast away the material where it's been cut out of the vinyl, is one suggestion from Tony. And he puts a link to a company that produces sandblasting film. Ian suggests it could be done with a router. He says, I have a sign maker's pantograph, which makes it straightforward. So that would be something from going from a small to a larger size, I imagine. Interesting to know that one is available to borrow from Ian, who got a similar job. But Andy says, this one looks V-carved, i.e. routed. Look at the detail on the cross on the fore, and indeed you can see basically there's a V, and where it comes together, it shows the two sides coming in. He says, I have a sandblasting stencil in two different thicknesses, you want to try it, but it takes a long time, emphasizing long there. Without a powerful high volume sandblaster, regular vinyl also works well on glass and plastic, where you only need to etch the surface slightly to get a good contrast. But routing is probably the way to go. Carbide bits will cut slate easily, as it's quite soft, but don't breathe the dust. And Nigel says you can directly laser engrave the slate, but it doesn't look the same. And he puts a link through to laser engraved slate for sign plaques. Tony references something called direct output mode, which enables 3D carving of a sort, he says. I'm not sure exactly what that is, so I need to have a look at that one. Oliver comes back and says, it looks like there's a few options. Anyone know a good place to source some slate tiles? And Ian says, yes, just round the corner, afjones.co.uk. I'm not sure the best way to curate something like this, but I think it would be great to be able to do an article that sort of says, inspiring different types of projects. So creating a house number would certainly be one. We did ours just using a laser cutter, but with a particularly attractive type of acrylic, produced a very, very pleasing result in the style that we were looking for, nice and distinct. So creating a house number could be a great topic. I shall have to make a note to self. And Jeremy posts a link saying, I've just seen this on the EEV blog, and it looks like it could be a useful tool. And he points to the iExtruder, i-extruder.com, a solder paste dispenser. Looking at the link, it's €190. It's a stepper motor driven air-free solder paste and fluids dispenser for PCB prototyping. Etc. Part of the blurb. The interesting thing is that it's a stepper motor, and they're describing it as both a solder paste dispenser and pick and place, a two-in-one tool. So that's a handheld device. I agree with Jeremy. It does look interesting. Nigel, on the other hand, says it's a nice-looking product, but seriously overpriced. One of these is about a third of the price. Now that's €190. And this is $72-$73, the one that he's pointing to on Banggood. But that's it's a 220-volt semi-automatic glue dropper dispenser. He mentions that it needs compressed air, but just looking, see direct reference to. But they do seem to be slightly different devices. Oh, yeah, there's a gauge on it, so yes, I guess it's designed to work. I have to have a read through that a bit further. Yes, I've just had a look at that, and... it does require compressed air, but I think it's maybe similar to the one that David P had, which there was an experiment running it up one of the small 12-volt tire compressors. No, it wasn't. It was a Humble spray compressor, and it was able to get enough oomph to be able to work with his solder paste one. I'm not sure what make that was. We've got a photo of it somewhere. From workshop, have to look that one out. Certainly the stepper motor version seems a bit more straightforward, but maybe not as flexible. And more in the tools making tools section. Luke posts a picture of Arthur's bike work stand. Basically, he's created a bracket that goes around the pillar at the bottom of the stairs, at the back stairs in the workshop, that allows you to support a bike at heights up to the top of the pillar. And got a couple of improvements in terms of padding. Mark has already tried it out and found it useful, particularly the height it goes up to, given his height. And it's fairly solid, attached to the post, but potentially needs a bit more firming up at the end of the arm. So also the possibility of using as a support for other types of tool, perhaps, instead of the jaws for holding the bike. A couple of points about whether it caused people to be working on a fire exit route to be considered, and about it being out of the way when not in use, which is addressed by the fact it will go up to the top of the post and be well out of people's way. For those who can't envisage where it was where the camera set were attached to the post when we had the Pi cams on a bracket down there. And I think it came out of a request that people had on the repair cafe and the bike kitchen unavailability. And tonight, Thursday, the Radark, the radio amateur group in Reading, having a meeting at the Reading Rugby Football Club. And they said, if you can't make this one, a bit short notice. And on the 24th of August, we're having a social evening at the same place. But the meeting tonight is doing antenna testing on 23 centimetres. So that could be handy for some people. Not our frequency for the Things Network, but something that we want to get together and talk to them about. Techniques and tools for doing range testing on the LoRaWAN network. And in the Police for Everything and Everything in its police department, Tony asks, has anyone seen the Dymo labeller? Suggests he saw it in the store cupboard. Where is its place? That may be the question. There is an acknowledgement that it was actually there. So that's an open question the last couple of days. And a short but sweet statement. Michael I says, new in Reading, want to come over on Wednesday. And Vance says, looking forward to seeing you tonight. That was last night. So see how he introduces himself, hopefully, in a future post. And on the same front, Faye says, will everyone be around to show a couple of new recruits to bring over on Wednesday? And Andrea confirms, yes, open Wednesday as usual. So I look forward to welcoming potentially three new members to the podcast. So Toby gives an update on the Shapoko, now up to five pages of information. There's some pictures of the new electrical enclosure, looking very impressive there. And some links to YouTube videos, which I've added to the RLab playlist, of the head being moved around in X and Y with both homing and speed tests going on. It was posted up by Jeremy. So progress being made. Still a panel to be wired up. Needs a 25-way cable. I'm thinking they're looking at the old parallel printer type cables. But also I was thinking of maybe SCART. I'll post that up. So progress being made, and he's also putting in a bid in for some space for it to be located downstairs. And thanks to Alistair, a new name on the thread, said I thought group members may be interested in an upcoming auction. So that was posted a couple of days ago. The auction closes mostly today at different times during the day from sort of 1 o'clock onwards. So just have a quick look through. Fortunately, Gavin and Ben and Toby and others have been looking at what might be of interest to space. Gavin mentioning stereo microscope, probes, hot plate, benches, a FLIR camera, component storage, bench power supplies. But there's a huge amount of stuff. It comes from a place called Virtu, who made mobile phones. So Ian and Arthur went down to have a look. They were interested in one of the bandsaws, says it hasn't been used very much, checking out on the bid. And Ian puts a link to the original manufacturer information. So looks as though some bids were going in for some of the items there. Just as I record this, it's a countdown to the end of most of the auctions. So it would be, by the time you hear the podcast, it will be the auction will be completed. It's a shame we don't in some ways get more notice. I don't know when the original ones are posted up with these, but certainly looked as though there's a lot of interesting radio test equipment, not too surprising being a mobile phone place. And Sam N says, I'm fairly new to the hack space and was curious about whether the bored stupid evenings are still happening every other Monday. I think they're sort of taking a bit of a hiatus while people have been away, but I think the plan is that they should be merged with the hardware hacking. Not sure exactly how that's going to pan out. And there isn't a reply on this yet, but he posts up a great example of the sort of thing he's trying to achieve. Not much experience of PCB design, but I'm trying to create custom PCBs to reduce at least some of the boards and put a picture of a project together with the various items that he's trying to emulate. And I think it's a great example of the sort of project we should be able to do. So I look forward to following more along about how that's going to pan out for hardware hacking and bored stupid evenings. And I mentioned an amp going spare. They tried to repair that. That's a problem. And it's going to be offered to Pav. He says, it's not much use for me, I'm sorry. Don't want to sound ungrateful, but I'm into guitar amps, all things valves, old transistors and stuff all day long, but not hi-fi. So a bit of an insight into his specific area of interest, if that's something you're interested in. I know he's putting together a special interest group into that specific area. And so lastly, we come to an offer of something entitled Is Not a Thing, but SS says, I'm trying to raise enough money from a clear out to buy a new phone after Galaxy S8 to sort of give people the heads up of the three items. He's got a heated ultrasonic bath, simply fiber tester kit never used, Fluke Networks one, and a pocket chip Linux single board computer by Next Thing. If anyone's interested or has a Galaxy S8 64 gig for a full or part swap, drop me a line, he says. So if you're interested in any of those items or have a Galaxy S8 to offer, then check out the thread. Not obvious under Linux ultrasonic fiber optic tester. So that's the last of the posts for this week. I'm going to pop over and have a look on the auction and see if there's something that we could get on the Thing Network radio side, a useful tool at a bargain price. And so for now, this is Mike the Bee signing off.